Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. So we're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, Joel, number of different markets that we can talk about coming out of this Memorial Day long weekend, but the one market that I am seeing that is, I think, up the most today, we can say, is oil. Crude up about $2 again, was almost at 120 today, just came up short of that, has rolled over a little bit from that high, but still right around that 117 level. Looking at the daily chart, I consider this in a way a breakout simply because crude hasn't been in the 117 area really since that spike in March, but this has been a steady climb higher for oil and now what seems to be just more upward momentum. I realize it's on the back of some more sanctions, but this seems to be an ongoing story for oil as it continues to move higher. What's your takeaway from, again, the moves in oil and the strength in the oil market?
Good afternoon, Corey and Shad. Thanks for having me. And hey, Corey, I like that analysis. The reason I like that analysis is because, you know, those spike highs that you had in early March, I mean, not much traded up there, right? There was a spike up, a spike down. You had more than enough retracements, more enough chances to keep crude under $100, a psychological $100 level. And it didn't work. And then it just kind of consolidated around that 17, 110 area, a little bit higher than that. Let's call it 110. And then it digested the move. I mean, and what I see with moves like that, when something hangs out near an area, if something hangs out near resistance too long, it breaks out. If something hangs out near support too long, it breaks out, it breaks down. So good analysis there. This is the fourth highest high it ever made. Got to 120, backed off. You talked about the sanctions. So now, you know, will we just bolt up to test that high? I doubt it. A lot of people, they're sitting on a lot of profits, but trend is your friend. The fundamentals are, you know, less supply, more demand with reopening trade, things going on. It makes sense. But today could be, and I always like to keep, you know, if you know, just for you at home, playing this on your own TV or whatever, watching, it's always, I always like to see the high close in the move too. Even though it's a rolling front month contract, when you hit those elevated levels, you never closed above 114.73. So if from a closing perspective, if we close here at 117, yeah, Corey, this would be a breakout to the upside for crude oil.
Yeah, Joel, just in time for summer driving season, so we can all pay more at the pump while we drive around on vacation. But I wonder how you feel this could impact companies, because it's such a huge component, energy into freight and into shipping and into transporting products and services. So do you think in light of the earnings season we have been seeing from the first quarter, that this is going to further crimp Q2 earnings when we get those in a couple months?
No, I have to agree. Higher input cost. We are through earnings season, so no one's thinking about it now. No one's coming out and talking about higher inventories or higher cost in doing business. So, yeah, we're kind of la-la land here with the rally that we had at the end of last week. I like to call it the Top Gun rally, Memorial Day weekend rally. But you can't ignore that. That's not only is it going to be impacting businesses that have, you know, airlines, you know, freighters, trucking, you know, whatever along the lines. It's a higher input cost. It is definitely going to have an impact on Q2 earnings. People are not thinking about that right now, but that's an excellent point.
Joel, what about the carryover to the U.S. equity markets? Because the U.S. market's kind of going through a bit of a bear market rally, let's say. But fact of the matter is the oil sector, the energy sector, has been kind of the one strong sector, and it can, in a way, hold up these markets. If oil goes on another run, does that add some boost to the U.S. markets?
I don't think so. I don't think so because it hurts more companies than it helps, in my opinion. It helps, a couple sectors, maybe the drilling, maybe the big oils, but it just hurts so many other things. And the main thing is it hurts the consumer. So no, I mean, you could still, you know, you could still have the canary in the coal mine. But no, I don't think, and it's a long time before we switch to electric. So overall impact good if you're Warren Buffett, you own, you know, Accidental Petroleum or ExxonMobil or Chevron or things like that. But I think the overall impact for the market is negative.
Well, Joel, you mentioned the Top Gun trade Memorial Day weekend and some of the action there. But we have seen, to Corey's point, kind of a bear market rally in a lot of the tech stocks. So some of the tech stocks, even some of the big FANG stocks, were starting to get beat down. And over the last week or two, they have bounced. How much longer do you think there is in this rally? And are there any levels you're watching in any of these big tech names?
Well, first of all, you know, everyone wanted that, you know, the big tech to wash out, right? Oh, well, we can't have a correction until the S&P goes down 20%. The S&P's went down 20%, you know, almost like 19.999. You are getting a rebound rally in these stocks. And I'm not going to go through each individual stock and give you individual levels, but like I'll just use Apple, the big dog, for an example, right? You were able to sneak through Friday's high by a little bit. Now you're hanging out at Friday's close. I would keep an eye on your highs and the issues from Friday, as well as the close, because that tells you, you know, whether, you know, whether, okay, this is profit taking. They are taking chips off the table here. So once again, using, you know, using closing prices and the daily highs. Conversely, I know we're a long way from the lows in Friday, a lot of these issues, and as well as the S&P, unless you have an intermediate weekly number, I would keep an eye on overall Friday's lows. Also, to your point, which you guys made so eloquently a couple weeks ago when we were rallying up just before we puked, yeah, if you're a volume guy, and you guys don't hear me talk about volume a lot, right? I'm price, 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 price. This, it was a low volume rally. I mean, there's no way that you can, you know, you put icing on the cake any differently. A lot of the big down days that we had were well over 2 million shares trading in the S&Ps. I see 2.2, 2.3, 2.4. Your up days are volume. Actually, your biggest volume day last week was your down day, where it was over 2 million. Of course, you had it going into the three-day weekend here in the United States, but the volume really tapered off. So would I be rah-rah bull-bull with the pom-poms if we, you know, had traded 2 million in the S&P? To give you a perspective on the spiders, SPY, for those that don't like to follow the futures, it's the same kind of thing. The big volume days on the down days were, you know, 100 million, 117 million, 131 million. Your volume on the rallies the last 3 days of the week, 91, 5, 82, and 85. So volume not confirming price at this point for me.
Very interesting on the volume aspect there, Joel. One other thing that we should quickly note is that this is going to be the monthly close at the end of today. And you look at the S&P, the S&P is pretty much flat on the month. Actually might have a black candle as it's up about 0.25%. The Nasdaq's only down about 1% this month when you take into account just how much lower it was earlier on this month. What do you think this leads to in terms of the next month? Because personally, when you see, or at least when I see in a downtrend, this flat month for the S&P that could put in just a little bit of a black candlestick, to me, it's worrisome. But how do you view these monthly closes?
Hold on, baby. Just hold on to these gains. You know, we've had a nice rebound off the low. We have not. I mean, it all depends what kind of retracement guy you are. But, you know, if you're figuring a retracement, you know, from the top, you know, let's call it 4,800 to 3,800, that's a 1,000-point drop. You need to get to 4,300, right? 4,300 also is when Powell topped us out. I don't know if you guys remember. Like, I equate prices with dates, and you had that ridiculous rally after the last Fed meeting. That peak double top in the spoos at 4,300. So number one, I'd like to see us get back half of this move. I don't think the move from 4,150 to 4,300 is going to be, you know, as easy going as this this first leg up. But if we can hold in here, if we can consolidate here, have an up month after all that chaos, have a couple quiet days, build a base, and then move on. So great point there on the monthly closes. I think that will just, you know, wherever it is today, I see the S&P cash closed at 41.31.93. Let's say we close right here at 41.47. Split those numbers or keep an eye on those. Holding two monthly close area, very bullish. You start to lose that, then you're right. Just another bear market rally.
All right, Joel, wrap it up on that. Man, oh man, what an interesting month this was, and what a long candlestick it is for all of these markets. Again, ending mostly flat for the month. Where does that leave us next month? I think a lot of people say that it is still worrisome out there, but we're also entering summer too, and it seems like a general slowdown is here. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.